Westbrook's numbers last night mean absolutely nothing to me because even though that's great numbers, that's what Westbrook can do. We all know this. He's a former league MVP. He's the most athletic point guard we have ever seen in NBA history. Bradley Beal and you are in the backcourt together, and y'all are 17-28 in the Eastern Conference. I mean, damn. You've played with some great, great players over the years. Some talent. And not a single title to show for it. If I'm going to look at everybody else, whether it's LeBron and Kyrie and Steph and everybody else, I got to look at that too. The numbers are the numbers. That's Russell Westbrook. He can do that to anybody. But I'm at a point in time in his career where it's like, it ain't about that no more. It's about whether or not you can get to another level to win the chip. Swimming.
Let's go. Good day. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into First Take. Freddie Coleman is in the building looking very handsome. I love the all blue. Always good to see you. I'm going to keep the pleasantries tight because I know my man is all business today. That would be Stephen A. Stephen A., good day. Guys, let's get it. You saw the sound. That was Stephen A. yesterday. Not impressed with Russell Westbrook putting up 35 points, 14 rebounds, and 21 assists in a triple-double, just the third triple-double in NBA history with 30 points and 20 assists. Joining who? Magic Johnson and Oscar Robertson, great company to be in. So Westbrook not feeling Stephen A.'s comments, posting a lengthy response, which read in part, quote, "A championship don't change my life. I'm happy. I was a champion once I made it to the NBA. I grew up in the streets. I'm a champion. My legacy is not based on what I do on this court. It's about how many people I'm able to impact. It's very important that you don't let the negativity seep in. It's been like that my whole career. No other player takes the heat that I constantly take." And this is an abbreviated version. It was a little bit longer, his statement there on social media. Stephen A.
Yeah. You know, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yep. I got you. You're good.
Let me be very, very clear. I'm glad I'm in to work today. I took my second COVID shot last night. Been a little under the weather about that, but it's all right. I'm here. It wasn't just Russell Westbrook that commented. It was his wonderful wife. I believe her name is Nina, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
I first want to respond to some of the things that she had to say, because she had some jabs to throw in my direction. Let me say to Miss Nina Westbrook, by all accounts, a wonderful woman. Nothing changes that. I appreciate her comments more than she realizes. If anybody's expecting me to go at the wife of an NBA player, if you talk about somebody being absolutely defenseless, I'm not going after anybody's wife, anybody's family members, anybody's mamas, or anybody like that. I'm not doing anything like that. I respect them all, and I respect her. And I want to applaud her. Applaud her. Because guess what? If I get married someday, I'd want my wife to come to my defense like that. My lady, I'd want her to come to my defense like that. I don't care who it is. So I applaud her coming to the defense of her husband. And for anybody out there that thinks that I have a problem with her based on what she said in defense of her husband, I do not. I have nothing but respect for her. She was a basketball player at UCLA, if I remember correctly. She knows a thing or two about basketball. She's also a businesswoman. I believe she's a licensed therapist as well, if I remember correctly. So this is an accomplished woman and a sensational woman by all accounts. And I think everybody should look at her and be proud that she would stand up for her man the way that she did. I know that any woman that's in my life, I would want them to stand up for me. So I applaud her for that. And that's all I have to say in regards to what she had to say about me, because she is no fan of mine. And based on my comments yesterday, I don't blame her. Having said all of that, respectfully, it does not matter to me. I stand by everything that I said yesterday. And what I would ask her, and I would ask Russell Westbrook, I would ask friends of Russell Westbrook's, teammates, contemporaries of Russell Westbrook, people in the NBA community or whatever, I would ask everybody to go back and look specifically at what I've said about Russell Westbrook, not just yesterday, but his track record. What did I say about his track record? This is a sensational athlete, the most athletic point guard in the history of basketball, destined for the Hall of Fame. I said all of those things. but you've come up short. You were with Kevin Durant when you had a 3-1 lead, and you lost it to Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors being up 3-1. Kevin Durant departs. We got on Kevin Durant for leaving you high and dry. The next 3 years, you get bounced out in 5 by James Harden in Houston. You get bounced out in 6, if I remember, by Donovan Mitchell. You get bounced out in 6 by Damian Lillard, who not only dropped 50, but waved goodbye to you after hitting that long 3 over Paul George. That's what happened. Then you go to Houston last year. And what happens? You fall in the playoffs, albeit to the Lakers. That's what transpired. And now you're in Washington, D.C., with Bradley Beal as your somebody turned down because they got an echo in my ear. I'm sorry. But now you're teammates with Bradley Beal in Washington, D.C. You're 13 games under 500, and everybody wants to talk about your numbers. What I was saying, Mrs. Russell Westbrook, along with Mr. Russell Westbrook, is that you've been so phenomenal with the numbers. We don't care anymore about the numbers. We know what you can do. You won a league MVP, averaging a triple-double. The first time that was done since Oscar Robertson did it in 1962. You're averaging a triple-double now. That particular season you won league MVP, you registered like 42 triple-doubles in a season. We know what you can do with the numbers. What about the chip? What about the championship? Because you've been to 4 conference finals. Now, if this was Zion Williamson, we praising the numbers. If it was Luka, we praising the numbers. If it was somebody that never was on a championship caliber team, we gonna praise the numbers and lament the fact that he's got to carry this shoulder all by himself. That is not Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook is a man that signed a 5-year, $206 million contract. Russell Westbrook is making generational money, as he pointed out last night. Russell Westbrook is averaging over $41 million a year. And championships don't matter? Really? That's not the culture of basketball I come from. When I think about the culture of basketball, and I think about champions, and I think about those striving for championships, every single Hall of Famer, watch them give their speeches, Freddie, Molly. What do they say? They apologize to their families and friends and loved ones because of their fixation on capturing a chip and the sacrifices they made in pursuit of that level of excellence and greatness. Russell Westbrook makes his money because fans patronize the NBA product, because television networks respond to the fans' insatiable appetite for that product, and they pay the league an exorbitant amount of money, which enables the league to pay the players. You don't do it so somebody could sit back and say, championships don't matter. I'm a champion in life. Who said you weren't? Russell Westbrook from Long Beach, California. Russell Westbrook's from the streets of L.A. and Long Beach and beyond. Russell Westbrook is as real, as authentic as they get. He gives to his community. He cares about his people. He addresses social justice issues. He gives voices to the voiceless. He's charitable. He's philanthropic. He's a great, by all accounts, a great man, a great leader, a great husband, a great father, a great family man. Russell Westbrook, regardless of his mean and acerbic demeanor at times, is one of the best people, the most real, straight up, authentic people you will ever see in your life. I respect the hell out of the man. What does that have to do with your game? Damian Lillard sent you home. Donovan Mitchell sent you home. James Harden sent you home. All along the way, and Kevin Durant left. In your career, you have had Kevin Durant, James Harden, Serge Ibaka, Reggie Jackson, Victor Oladipo, Paul George, James Harden again, and now Bradley Beal. And we want to celebrate triple-doubles 40-plus games into our regular season when it comes to you? No, you're great. You're so great. We want to see more when it matters. And me saying that is not an indictment against your character. And it doesn't require a soliloquy about generational wealth and a lesson about how all of these folks, these commentators, go on the TV screens and they critique these players and they alter their lives. Let me give Russell Westbrook and all the players and all the athletes out there an education. When you talk about champions, I'm from the streets too. And I couldn't shine your shoes as a player. But I've been successful. As a writer, as a radio host, as a television personality, soon to be author, I'm owning my production company. I'm doing just fine. But if I sat up there and I said, you know what, Dave Roberts, and Molly, you can confirm this. Freddie, you can confirm this. Dave Roberts is our boss, senior VP, extraordinaire, ESPN. Norby Williamson, executive VP, ESPN. Jimmy Pitaro, president, ESPN. Imagine if I came on television. Especially after I got my contract, Molly, as you pointed out. Our ratings don't matter. Revenue doesn't matter. It's not important. What's important is that I'm making this money, and you know what? I get to take care of my family and create wealth and contribute to our community. They're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. What does that have to do with you having a successful television show that we're paying you to have? You have to produce for us first. And the reality of the situation is that when you're out there competing, it's not about being negative about a player or anything like that. It's about looking at the league and the contemporaries within the league, understanding that there's only a select few spots for people, and you judge each individual accordingly, because every single year, every single month, every single week, there could be a new body there because everybody wants it, but it's only reserved for a select few. So as people who chronicle the sport, we look at it and say, okay, since we're chronicling it, we have to talk about those who are successful and why, and those who are not. And the fact of the matter is, Russell Westbrook is sensational. But in the end, his three-point shooting and lack of a perimeter shooting game, I believe, has served as an impediment to him capturing a championship. I and so many others believe he richly deserves and desperately want for him. I don't believe that requires him, his family, or anybody else to come at me as if I'm excoriating the guy. We're talking basketball. Can I talk basketball? That's all I was doing. And for every critique or bite or soundbite that they could find of me saying something negative about Russell Westbrook, I can come up with 20 soundbites of me raving about him. And anybody that doubts that, name the time and place and I'll show up. Because I have always praised him when he has been worthy. That's what I have to say.
Well, number one, you're beautiful and you're angry. So that's number one when it comes to that Stephen A. Smith. So I appreciate what you're talking about in terms of Russell Westbrook, but here's the deal. No matter what he does, people are never going to be satisfied. And that goes for you. That goes for plenty of other people because, like you said, you're expecting more from a guy in Russell Westbrook that has that kind of ability. But here's the reality of the situation. Not so much what you had to say about Russell Westbrook, but the reality when it comes to Russell Westbrook. Sometimes it's just not in the cards for you. And that's something that Russell Westbrook is wrestling with, the fans of Russell Westbrook. And I'm a huge Russell Westbrook supporter. But to your point, he has that lack of a deficiency when it comes to making three-point shots or delivering in those clutch kind of moments. In other words, Russell Westbrook is the same guy as James Harden. Both of those guys have come up short in critical situations, especially in the playoffs. But through their own greatness, people are looking at them saying, why have you not been able to do more? Why have you not been able to raise your basketball team to that standpoint? It's a fair assessment to make with Russell Westbrook. But I'm never going to come at him that way. Because we all have to realize this, and I know we want things the way we want it. It is extremely, extremely hard to win any kind of championship. You could be the greatest player known to mankind, but sometimes it's just not in the cards for you. Sometimes you are born at the wrong time. Russell Westbrook happens to be born during the same era as a Steph Curry, as a LeBron James, as a Kyrie Irving, on the back end of a Kobe Bryant, on the back end of a Shaquille O'Neal, and people are going to look at them and him and say, well, those guys won. What is your problem? It's not a Russell Westbrook problem. It's a problem that people have when they see greatness and they automatically assume that should lead to an NBA championship. The sports streets are littered with guys that were great but never won a championship. Dan Marino, Dan Fouts, Warren Moon, plenty of guys like that that never won a championship. We place a premium on Russell Westbrook because we see those numbers and we say, why can't we qualify that to winning a championship? It's not all his fault. That's not just defending him. That's just stating what it is. So if I'm Russell Westbrook and I have never given up on my team and I'm putting up numbers,
Freddie?
And Stephen A. Smith comes at me, then you know I'm going to come back at him. So I clearly understand why he did that. That doesn't say that you're wrong, Stephen A. Smith, but Russell Westbrook letting everybody know I'm not going to stand for it because even though I've not won a championship, I have not given up on situations. So back up off of me and don't just throw numbers in my face.
But Freddie, doesn't he have an obligation to listen to the argument that was made? No one said he didn't work hard. No one said he doesn't want competition. Nobody said that he can't play or anything like that. What you pointed out is that you've been going home early despite the expectations, and maybe, just maybe, if your perimeter game was better, something you've had more than a decade to work on, you would have more success. We can disagree about that, meaning Russell Westbrook and I, but that was a basketball analysis that I provided. For him and Mrs. Westbrook, who obviously I respect, to come at me as if we were castigating him, that's just not true. And listen, years ago when they were in the finals, y'all, I said something very critical alongside Magic Johnson about Russell Westbrook's performance in an NBA Finals game when he had dropped over 40. His dad came up to me and said, I respect the hell out of you. I hear where you're coming from. Please don't ever speak that way about my son again. This is how you came across, Stephen A. I apologized to his dad on the spot and said, sir, I didn't realize that. That will never happen again. And I've never done it again because that's how much respect I have for Russell Westbrook. So what I'm saying is that you, Freddie, that's like somebody coming at you and you saying, look, man, the guy ain't getting it done. I love him. His game is beautiful. He needs to work on this, but overall his game is beautiful, but he ain't getting it done. And that's a license for them to have to give a diatribe about generational wealth and the negativity of the media. And I'm talking basketball. What's wrong with that?
There's nothing
that's
wrong
what we're doing.
That's nothing wrong with you talking basketball.
Let me get in here really quickly. Yep. Yeah, Freddie, hold on 1 second, because I definitely want to get your opinion. We're going to revisit this later in the show. The Hall of Famer Isaiah Thomas will be here, and I think the exact question I asked you yesterday is how impressed were you with the triple-double record, and your thing was, I'm not that impressed, and it's because you expect that of him, and you want to see him be able to win a chip and get it done in the playoffs.
Exactly.
I want to get to this Kevin Durant story, though, people, because this is pretty important as well. And Freddie, I'll start with you on this one. So off-court talk involving Nets star Kevin Durant on Tuesday as actor Michael Rapaport made public by posting on Twitter a series of direct messages from December he says are between him and Nets star Kevin Durant. Now, following a TNT interview, Rapaport criticized Durant on Twitter, which led to an expletive-laden exchange in which Durant, according to Rapaport, sent the following messages via Instagram DM to Rapaport. Okay. Quote, I swear I'm going to spit in your face when I see your dirty expletive. You expletive for even caring how I do an interview. All you do is expletive other men for attention. How expletive are you? Your wife doesn't even respect your expletive. Then Durant tweeted an apology of sorts yesterday saying, me and Mike talk crazier than this on the regular, and today he's pissed. My bad, Mike. Damn. Freddie, how damaging is this to KD's image?
I don't know about damaging, but this has been par for the course, unfortunately, with a guy that you would think if you're Kevin Durant at 32 years of age and you're supposed to be a lion, why are you engaging in unlion-like behavior from this standpoint? There's a way to clap back at people and not go that route. You're Kevin Durant. You're not somebody who isn't about something. You've been about something inside and outside of the NBA. But this is not the first time we've seen and heard about this from Kevin Durant. He's always talked about, even before, that he does not mind engaging with fans on social media. He likes the back and forth. But I believe he wants it on his terms. And you can't have it that way in a public figure situation that he is, having that public eye upon you all the time. And for him to come in with an apology and say, Mike and I talk about this all the time. You know what, Kevin Durant, that may be the case, But, dude, you got to be better than that. You got to be bigger than that. You want to clap back at your boys. You want to clap back at your friends. Then why are you doing that on social media to that standpoint? And believe me, I've known Michael Rapaport for about 10 years. He loves to stir the sugar, as they like to say. He enjoys doing that. But he went beyond the line as well by putting a public, making something public that was a private conversation. People do that when they're trying to eat off your plate, when your name is bigger than Michael Rapaport. And there's no doubt that Kevin Durant's name is bigger than his. So if you're going to engage in this kind of social media back and forth or have this kind of bro hug situation that you and Michael Rapaport have, when you put stuff out there, we're not going to remember that Michael Rapaport dimed you out. We're going to remember that Kevin Durant, once again, did not clap back properly on social media. When you're Kevin Durant, when you have that kind of name, you have to make sure that if you're going to clap back at somebody, you can't go to that level. You can't go to that street level. Be bigger than that. Be beyond that. You are a lion in business. You are a lion in the NBA. You are a lion among people that know your name. Why are you going down that rabbit hole with somebody that has not done anything as near as what you've been able to do? You can respond to criticism. You're a grown man. You can do whatever you want. But there's a way to do that without going down that road. And if anybody should know better that's had these social media experiences, it should be Kevin Durant. And once again, he didn't learn his lesson, and then he had to apologize like he did before.
First things first. Let me call out Michael Rapaport. Bro, you violated all types of street code. You know the rules. That was a private message from Kevin Durant to yourself. You had no business making it public. I know Michael Rapaport just like you do, just like various others do. I like Michael. He's crazy sometimes on social media, but incredibly hilarious. You all right? Incredibly hilarious. Here's the deal, and I'm cool with him. You know, he knows where I stand. You had no business exposing private direct messages from Kevin Durant, period. Now, knowing Michael, he'll probably say, that man mentioned my wife. The minute he did that, all bets were off because Michael could get emotional like that and not understand it. You still had no business doing that. You're a grown man, and you've had contact face-to-face and otherwise with Kevin Durant before. There could have been opportunities for you to squash this privately. You did not have to make that publicly. So he was wrong for doing that and violated all types of street codes. Let's just call that what it is. Having said that, my question to Kevin Durant is, what's going on? You got something you need to tell us, bro? Something going on? That's really what you're doing? You missed about 25, 26 games. You went to Brooklyn area, you averaging 29, 30 in the 18, 19 games you played. Everybody been waiting for you. I know that you're coming off an Achilles and everybody waiting to see what you're going to do come playoff time and all of this other stuff. But damn it, last time I checked, you do get paid to play regular season games as well. And maybe the NBA should revisit and start, instead of guaranteeing all of these guys' salary, maybe we should mention there's a minimal amount of games you should have to play in the regular season because, damn it, some of these guys have been gone for too long. Maybe not Kevin Durant because he's coming off that Achilles, but some of these guys have been gone too long with no explanation whatsoever, just taking days off willy-nilly. Kyrie, where are you? I mean, damn. But having said all of that, Kevin Durant comes across highly sensitive, very immature. I happen to like Kevin Durant. I think he's a good dude, even though I don't think that that comes across when he's on social media going off on everybody. I think he's the kind of person whose heart is in the right place and just wants to express himself. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't know better. Kevin Durant is bigger than this. He's better than this. He should be bigger than this. He should be better than this. And that's not something that he should do. And I'm going to throw out the name Rich Kleiman as well. That's his man. That's his right-hand man. You know, you got some influence. Kevin Durant's his own man. Please don't get me wrong. But you got some influence. I mean, say something, because this kind of stuff does not help. It's unnecessary. Kevin Durant doesn't need to be doing that. And the league, I can tell you right now, the league is investigating the matter. Security is going to look into it. They're going to go to Byron Spruill, who's the head of operations for the NBA, and him and Commissioner Adam Silver is going to make a decision as to what's going to be handed down by Kevin Durant. What Kevin Durant and everybody needs to remember is this one important thing. Donald Sterling had a private conversation with his, what she called herself, his little rabbit. That's what she called herself. The mistress. She said it's a little rabbit or whatever she called herself.
All right, Paramore.
The kids, I mean, or whatever.
I don't want
to
know.
The point that I'm trying to make, that's what she said. That's what she said. The point is, that private conversation got him exiled from the NBA. Maybe NBA players should remember that, since even though it was a private conversation, they were the ones pushing Adam Silver to exile him from the NBA. They might want to remember that.
I got two quotes for you. You got no friends in this game. We've all learned that the hard way. And eagles don't fly with pigeons. KD, you are an eagle. Freddie Coleman, you are top notch. The best, my man. Always check you out on radio. We will talk to you soon. Thank you so much.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com.
It came down to one possession in Naptown as Michigan, who struggled to make a shot in the final minutes, fell to UCLA. Huge congrats to Juwan Howard on what he's done with his program without having one of their best players for the tourney in Isaiah Livers. But now it's all about the Bruins, y'all. Mick Cronin and Johnny Juzang. And Coach Seth Greenberg joining us now. Hey, Coach, thank you so much for being with us. I want to start with you. How big of a threat is UCLA to win it all?
Well, to win it all, look, I didn't think they were going to beat Alabama. I didn't think they were going to beat Michigan. They did that, so they're obviously a threat. They beat the two and the number one. It's more how they've been able to do that that's interesting. And you look at this UCLA team, they've done it with defense. They've done it with controlling the tempo of the game. They've done it with guys stepping up. And they are a tough matchup. They're a tough matchup even for Gonzaga. Say, wait a second. How can they be a tough matchup for Gonzaga? They absolutely ran USC. I'll tell you how. Couple things. Pace of play. If you can own the pace of play, then you have a chance to pull off the upset. Gonzaga, they play the third fastest tempo in college basketball. UCLA plays the 319th fastest. UCLA does not turn the basketball over. UCLA does not take bad shots, so they have a chance to set their defense, which you have to do against, obviously, Gonzaga. And then matchups. You have to have a matchup against Corey Kispert to beat Gonzaga. They do. Jaime Jaquez is a great matchup for Corey Kispert. You got to have a matchup for Jalen Suggs. Keep him out of the lane. Let me tell you something. Tiger Campbell is aptly named because that dude backs down to absolutely no one. And then you've got to have someone who can step up and make big shots, and that's Johnny Juzang. So they have a shot. I'm not saying it'll happen, but I didn't think it would happen against Michigan, Stephen. Hey.
You know, I'm not sure I'm sold. I mean, you know, you are a basketball analyst extraordinaire. I love you dearly, but I'm not sure I'm sold on you. I think the combination of the pandemic combined with all that they had to endure to go through this season, I think your heart's a little soft for a few teams, and I think you're giving everybody a chance. And to me, they don't have no damn chance, okay? UCLA should have lost. If Wagner showed up last night, not only did he shoot one for 10, coach. But I mean wide open, top of the key, out of a timeout. I mean straight butter. If you make it, you win the damn game. He didn't even hit the rim, okay? And then he obviously missed the last shot as well. Just straight panic as far as I'm concerned. So I think Michigan should have won this game, even though, again, they did get held to 49 points. I was very sad to see, especially with my man Jay Rose in attendance watching his boy Juwan Howard do his thing. I thought that obviously UCLA is impressive. Nick Kronick, a coach. I respect the man. But Gonzaga seems to be a bit special. I think Baylor's the only team that's got a shot to beat them. Nobody else has a shot. I'm willing to say that. Because of Suggs and Kispert, nobody has a shot, coach. Are you saying somebody really, really has a shot?
Here's the deal, Steve. I said they had a chance. I didn't say they were going to beat Gonzaga. The team that has the best shot is Baylor. And I'll tell you why they have the best shot. The Baylor backcourt's a joke.
I agree with that.
They've played four games in the tournament. They've had three different leading scorers. And none of those leading scorers are their two All-Americans, Butler and Mitchell. Think about that. They score 83% of their points on the perimeter. Oh, by the way, they also do it on the defensive end. They have the ability to turn you over, pressure you. I mean, they force a turnover one quarter of their possessions. So when you look at Baylor, the ability to defend the basketball, the ability to put pressure on the Gonzaga defense, which, by the way, the Gonzaga defense, the most underrated defense left in the Final Four. They are playing at a high level defensively.
Well, what does that say?
Here's my concern. Here's my concern, though. Give me one concern. To beat Gonzaga, you've got to guard Kispert at the four, and Vidal's a good defender. I'm not sure if he's chasing Kispert around, whether he's playing without the ball.
Okay.
Those trail threes. And then you got to deal with Drew Timme. They score 50 points a game in the paint. The dude is like, got the best footwork I've ever seen, like Baryshnikov, or one of those dudes. I don't even know famous dancers, but
ever.
He's got great footwork. All right?
Ever.
Yeah, ever. So, like, when I look at guarding him, that's a tough matchup.
Stop. I'm going history with you. You've been around a long time. Used to coach at Virginia Tech as well. Let me tell you something, coach. Best footwork ever. You ever heard of Hakeem the Dream Olajuwon? You ever heard of Patrick Ewing? How about Ronnie Cycli? You ever heard of that name? Okay, what about Shaquille O'Neal? What do you mean the best foot? What about Tim Duncan? Coach, come on, man. Come on.
Stephen A. First of all, the dude's got incredible. He's got incredible footwork. And here's the deal.
You brought up
a pretty good point here. Because we're playing in two different eras. We're playing in a one-and-done era now.
Okay.
Back in the day, like, hey, this Gonzaga team, tremendous. Historic offensively. Patrick Ewing wouldn't let him score 50 points in the paint. Wouldn't happen. Jay Will's Duke teams, I'm not sure with Jay Will Boozer and Dunleavy.
It wouldn't happen.
I'm not sure if they would dominate them. But
That's the
era of basketball we're playing right now, in the era of basketball play, with the people that they're playing against, let me tell you something. This team is really, really special. And, yeah, Timme, his footwork. Come on, don't give me Ronnie Cycli now.
No.
Ronnie Cycli overwhelmed you with his athleticism. Here's what Timme did yesterday. Let me finish this.
Ronnie Cycli in there. I'm just saying that's how pathetic your argument was about his being the best footwork ever.
How good is Evan Mobley? Evan Mobley's going to be the second or third pick in the NBA draft.
He's good.
He absolutely tortured the man.
I like him.
He tortured the man. I mean, it was like he should. I don't know what Evan Mobley did to poor Drew Timme.
Coach, we're running out of time. I got something to ask you. I'm not going to let you get off the segment when I ask you this question, Coach. Looking at this Gonzaga team, no bubble play, okay? When we take it to a hell, Coach, I'll go Anthony Davis at Kentucky, all right? I'll go UNLV and the Running Rebels.
Ooh.
I'll go Duke with Leitner and the crew. I'll go all these. With Gonzaga, this Gonzaga team, how would it be against those boys? How would it be, Coach?
The UNLV team is the reason I'm doing this, because they beat about 200 points, Larry Johnson and that crew.
Yeah, I remember.
Anthony Davis and that Kentucky team that won a national championship, they were just different. They had four NBA players across the board. But let's not undervalue the players on this Gonzaga team. Seriously, you've got Kispert's going to be a first-round draft choice. Suggs should be the number one pick in the draft. Timmy's going to be a first-round draft choice. I think Ayayi's going to be a second-round. They're going to have four NBA players on this team. The problem is, when I look at them, I don't think they'd be undefeated if they were in the Big 12 or the Big 10, because of the cumulative effect of playing in one of those conferences. But you cannot deny the manner in which they play, the flow in which they play. They get a shot up every 14 seconds. They shoot 64% from the two. Those are historic numbers no matter what. But I do think a lot of them is their competition in terms of national competition in the tournament isn't what it's been in the past. Some has to do with the virus. Some has to do with so many kids leave to go early to the NBA. But, hey, I'm enjoying watching them play.
No question. And UCLA now trails only UNC for the most Final Four appearances ever. Coach, I'm sorry we're your consolation prize, Stephen A. and me. I know you want to be out there on the hardwood.
I'm sorry he got to leave, Molly.
I'm waiting on you, Stephen. I'll see you next week.
He said a few blasphemous things. I'll deal with you later, Coach.
Bye.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Now he's a Super Bowl champion. Welcome to First Take. Joining us now, Super Bowl winning linebacker, standout for the Tampa Bay Bucks, Shaq Barrett. Shaq, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being with us. In 2020, 2021, not all bad for everybody because you, sir, had yourself quite a year. You bet on yourself, you play on the franchise tag, you win a Super Bowl, and then you sign a four-year deal and you get that long-term security as deserved and get to return to the Bucks. What did that all mean to you?
It was everything that I've been working for my whole entire NFL career. I just wanted security for my family, security for just security and stability because it's something that we didn't have much as growing up, and I just wanted to provide as much of that as possible.
First of all, that's a beautiful story. Secondly, before I even ask you a question, Shaq, let me apologize to you on national television, you and the crew. I thought that Tom Brady and the Bucs would put up some points. I truly did, because I wasn't really a believer in Kansas City's defense. But there is no way in hell that I thought that your defense would be able to help hold Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, and the crew to 9 points. I got to stand down on national television and apologize for my blasphemous behavior, denying y'all, thinking y'all couldn't do that. Congrats on that. Having said that, did you believe that y'all was going to do what y'all did to Kansas City's offense coming into that Super Bowl?
Coming into the game, we was very confident, but not conceded. We still respected them as a team, but we did know that we could come out there. I didn't think 9 points off field goals, getting in the red zone, making them kick them for three. I didn't think that was going to happen. I thought it was going to be a little closer of a game, but we was everybody made the plays when it was their time to make the plays, and we all just stepped up, and we was ready to go. Like, our energy on the sidelines, when we was talking on the field, it was just unmatched, and it felt like they thought it was going to be easy. It felt like it was going to be a game. They thought it was going to be handed to them.
You are more than ready. And I just want to point out that I did pick you guys, okay? So just pat myself on the back real quick. Shaq, I want to get to NFL news, and then we'll get back to your Bucks. But I want to get your thoughts on this. So obviously now changing from 16 regular season games to 17, and if things play out as we think, you'd have an extra road game at the Colts. What are your thoughts on that?
I love playing football. I'm in it for the love of the game. For the love of the game and to be secure financially. But I just love playing football. I want to try to get a record, try to get the record at my position. So another game that's only going to help me in pursuit of my trying to get a sack record. But I don't mind. As long as I'm healthy, long as everybody's healthy, as long as like there's not too many more injuries. You know, people get hurt every game, every week. So they just got to keep your body healthy, mentally ready, and ready to go. It's not a big thing to me at all. I love football. I love playing it. And it could be a game that we need to potentially make it into the playoffs if it was like a season like that. So I don't mind at all.
You're every coach.
Shaq, I respect the hell out of Alvin Kamara. I disagreed respectfully with his position about the 17-game schedule because my mentality is guys get injured in football all the time. They get to sit out. I mean, listen, and sometimes you hurt and you can't play, and sometimes you hurt but you could play, but then you might prioritize not playing one game so you'll be ready for when it really counts. I think you can still find a way to do that in the 17-game season. Just play the 16 damn games and find a game to take off while still getting paid. I don't see the problem. Let me go to Green Bay, because one of the things that we made noise about, and I'm guilty of this, Shaq, I thought that if Aaron Rodgers had not had the ball taken out of his hands on fourth down in that NFC Championship game, it's possible we might have saw a different outcome. How shocked were y'all that Green Bay and Coach Matt LaFleur elected to take the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands, kick the field goal, knowing that the defense, all they had to do was prevent Tom Brady from getting a first down or two? That's all Tom Brady needed. How shocked were y'all that Green Bay gave y'all the football back?
I was super shocked. I saw guys going off the field like, nah, come back. They're going to go for it. Then I saw the field goal kicker running out. Like, hey, like, we'll take it. it ain't no guarantee what would have happened if it wasn't went to fourth down, but I saw the kicker coming out there. I'm like, oh, that's cool, man. I got 100% faith in our offense. I know Tom ain't going to give him back the ball. I remember a game earlier in the year where we had 4-minute offense out and we was able to close out on offense. So I was super proud of the offense getting out there, being able to do that thing. And I knew they weren't getting the ball back.
Shaq, I have a million other things I want to talk to you about, but we're out of time. But I got one thing I need to know. Bruce Arians, to me, exceptional coach, but the man's hysterical. I love the way he does it. So he tweeted a photo of his brand new Super Bowl tattoo that he promised to get if you guys won. Can you believe he actually got the ink?
I can believe it because that's the type of guy that he is. Just tell him don't say it again for next year because he's going to have to get another one.
So y'all winning the next year.
Y'all already
winning the next year. That's what
I'm
trying to say.
Yeah. I got all the confidence in it. It's like another year in the system for everybody. It's going to be good. The camaraderie that we had towards the end of the year. Oh, what you biting the fingers for?
Now what you going to say, Stephen A? You're going to get on the right side of history this time?
Can I answer, Molly? I was just trying to say I would love to sit up there and doubt it, but y'all do have a crew. Y'all are returning. I'm done betting against Tom Brady. I'm done betting against Tom Brady. I'm just done with it.
Hey, you smart man. I mean, seven times for a reason.
You and Max Kellerman both, right? No question. Shaq, such a pleasure having you on, and congratulations on all your success. And we will certainly be watching very closely next season.